Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as conservatives. And Andrew, we start with the fact that it looks like President Obama's level of support, which isn't exactly stellar to begin with, is starting to crumble even more, and it's because even liberals are giving up on him. This is a story from Real Clear Politics. They look at blue states like Pennsylvania, where even though the Democrats are easily going to win the governor's race against an incumbent Republican there, the president's job approval rating is only at 31%. The Hill newspaper reporting the slipping support for Obama is most evident in a pair of recent surveys of Democratic strongholds. Just 39% of registered New York voters say Obama is doing an excellent or good job, 45% in California. Now, obviously, those voters will probably find different reasons to vote for Democrats other than Barack Obama this year. But, Andrew, it looks like at an especially bad time for the president and his party, just was it 6 weeks before the midterm elections, that things are not looking good. And the president, while trying to look presidential lately, isn't convincing that many people.
The most successful Democrats we're seeing this cycle, whether it's in Pennsylvania or even some of these vulnerable red state Democrats, are the ones that are specifically going out of their way to distinguish themselves as not being President Obama. And that's what this poll shows, again, in a state like Pennsylvania, where the Democrats going to win and still the president's still not popular. It's not that these are pro-Obama voters coming over to rally behind the president and, you know, help him get through an agenda, even if it's just on a state level. They're just voting for someone that happens to be a Democrat and isn't someone that is fully embracing the president either. And so if you're a Republican, you have to think, you have to just keep doing what you're doing or trying to do and trying to tie the Mark Pryors, the Mary Landrews, all of them to Obama, because it's not only going to drive out your turnout, but it's also going to keep probably their support or Democratic supporters home, because they're not too enthused about the president either.
Yeah, exactly right. And the Mitch McConnell ad, when Allison Grimes tried to trot out the gun and say she's not Barack Obama, and then bringing back Barack Obama's one time that he probably fired a gun in his life up at Camp David and saying, look, she's even doing photo ops with guns just like Barack Obama. They're essentially the same person. So that is what you call staying on message.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. On to the bad martini now. And it was just, was it yesterday or the day before, Jim and I made the we had two good martinis that day, and one of them was the fact that even though the Tea Party candidate in Kansas did not succeed in winning the primary, Pat Roberts won a fairly ugly fight, and now he's in a tough general election fight. Sarah Palin, darling of the Tea Party movement, saying, hey, we need this seat for Republicans to have a better chance to win the majority in the Senate. So whatever happened in weeks or months prior, she's letting bygones be bygones, and she's going to go in there and campaign hard for Pat Roberts against independent Greg Orman, even though most people think he'll be a Democrat once he gets to Washington. Now, though, Milton Wolf, he was the second cousin of Barack Obama on his mother's side, and he made a big deal of that because he was the Tea Party candidate against Pat Roberts. He's now toying with the idea of endorsing Orman rather than Pat Roberts. He says the only thing he requires from Orman is that he promised to caucus with Republicans, which, if you're going to go down that road, is probably a pretty good precondition, Andrew. But while it's obvious that there's still bad blood and understandable in some ways, if your goal is to block the Obama agenda, pushing the guy who's probably going to line up with the Democrats doesn't seem like a real good strategy.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking about our last story. Is Wolf the only candidate this cycle that has been emphasizing his ties with President Obama? you know, he did it more than many of the Democratic candidates out there. but yeah, I mean, we have to see how much this Wolf endorsement, how much weight that carries. But it definitely can be somewhat worrisome, because it's not a good sign if you're Roberts, if you're trying to, again, make sure you get every conservative voter out there, if you're to the right challenger is suddenly going to endorse, like you said, quote unquote, independent guy who's being staffed by former DNC staffers and, you know, all this stuff. But he's independent, despite that his staff largely comes from Democratic groups. Again, this just sort of blindsided Republicans as far as this race and having to now plan for it and try and strategize for it. And throwing the former Tea Party candidate's weight behind Orman there might be enough people that fall for that and what looks to be a close race that if you're Pat Roberts and the RNC, you're a little concerned. And I think the other thing that people aren't looking in or the people need to think about when it comes to this race also is, let's say Republicans take control of the Senate this cycle. You know, the 2016 cycle is going to be a pretty tough one. That's going to be when a lot of the 2010 Tea Party wave candidates came up. You could see a situation where Republicans are kicking themselves for letting Kansas go because, again, if they only had that one more seat, maybe they could retain control after 2016. And just like we sort of kick ourselves with North Dakota or states like Montana the last cycle, where you kind of question, how did we let those ones slip away? You know, the numbers game would be much more in our favor this go around. You don't want Kansas to be the latest example of that.
The idea of Kansas going Democratic, especially in a year that's supposed to be on the brink of a wave year for the GOP, is just amazing. But as we've mentioned before, it's not just the Senate race. Governor Brownback in some trouble out there as well. So very interesting. All right, on to the crazy martini now. And yesterday's good martini, of course, was the fact that Eric Holder is resigning as soon as a successor is confirmed. We have very low hopes for the quality of the next nominee for the job. But as Jim said yesterday, Eric Holder set the bar pretty low. So it's going to be hard to find someone who does a poorer job as attorney general. Nonetheless, the instant analysis of the Holder announcement yesterday was kind of odd, even by MSNBC standards. It was, I believe, Tamron Hall speaking with Chuck Todd, who is, of course, the new moderator of Meet the Press, and as well as the political director over there. And here was his analysis of how people have misunderstood Eric Holder.
But what's interesting about him, he's a very non-political person. And I think people used to mistakenly think that this guy was this longtime political operative who happened to be an attorney general. That's not him at all. In fact, that used to get him in some hot water with some of the president's own political aides. He'd get heat inside the White House because they felt like he wasn't political enough, and yet to the outside world, he'd get criticized, say, from Republicans on Capitol Hill because they thought, oh, he's being too much, too political. The guy wasn't political at all, and in many ways just ended up being the point person to attract a lot of attacks.
Fast and Furious, AP and James Rosen, not investigating the IRS. He calls himself an activist attorney general, Andrew, so I'm not exactly sure why Chuck Todd thinks he needs to pretend that he wasn't.
Yeah, it's not like Chuck Todd or anyone else that would agree with Chuck Todd is saying something that Eric Holder has said, where Eric Holder has said he's not political. I mean, he would just have to read Eric Holder's own words that he sort of embraces this activist portrayal. You know, he said, if you think that's what I am, I think the quote was, I'd agree with you 100% and I'm proud of it. That's the way he's seen himself. I guess if Eric Holder wasn't political, I'm scared to see what a political attorney general would look like, because he seemed to be pretty close to that. But who am I to counter the Meet the Press moderator?
Must be The Office, because, you know, David Gregory and bringing the clip onto the set that was in supposed violation of D.C. law and all this other stuff, and not to mention tanking the ratings of the show. So Chuck Todd might want to stay in his own office. I don't know if that's the problem. That was the crazy one, folks. And just so you know, it beat out Bill de Blasio killing the groundhog. So it was a tough day for winning the crazy
one. I was still mostly distraught for that one. But
still too fresh. Too soon.
Yeah,
too
exactly.
Too soon to have fun with that one. All right, Andrew, as always, great to have you filling in for Jim. We'll talk to you later.
Take it easy. Thanks.
Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Jim and me on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.